This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we are back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch. I am Kevin, here with my co-host and sister, Mare Bear.
What's up?
Yeah, and we are back for another week. We have the beginning of season 3 of The Office. We've made it through 2 seasons.
Wah, wah, wah!
Okay. And so, what did you think of these episodes before we... screw that. Strike it.
Going straight into a recap.
Yeah, what did we do last week? Tell everybody what the episodes were about at the end of season 2.
All right. Season 2 ended up with Conflict Resolution, episode 21, where Michael took it upon himself to look at everybody's filed complaints in the office against each other and decided it was time for a little hashing out of words, I guess you could say. It blew up in his face completely. We found out that Jim filed a complaint against Pam for planning her wedding on company time.
But that wasn't the real reason. The real reason is because it hurt him.
Oh, yeah. He was upset about it. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to listen to somebody that I was in love with fucking plan their wedding. Shit hurts. But, and yeah, so it was just, it was a shit show. But Oscar wore a poster as a t-shirt for his ID picture. And then we rounded out the season with Casino Night.
Yeah, that was an awesome episode.
That was awesome. So the Scranton Business Park held a Casino Night. Michael got into a little bit of a quandary with 2 women that he was in love with. Well, that he's dating.
That, technically, yeah.
At the same time. And we saw the big,
moment. Jim kissed Pam and told her he loved her. And then we got the cliffhanger.
And then she shut him down twice. She shut him down the first time.
You're right, yeah.
And then we just see them kiss and she pulls back and fiend.
Well, I do have to say about all that. Is that back in 2006, like waiting 4 months for resolution?
God.
Here, you only have to wait 1 week if you haven't seen the show.
But that was an awesome cliffhanger. Like,
oh, that's great! It's great because I mean they built up to it and that.
Yeah, took them 2 seasons to build up to that shit, and we finally saw it. And then 4 months later, we find out the resolution, and that's what we're jumping into today.
Yeah, season 3, episode 1. What's the title of it again?
Gay Witch Hunt.
Gay Witch Hunt. Awesome. So do you want to take it away, Mare Bear?
Absolutely, dude. Okay, so our cold open, we see Dwight clipping his fingernails and cuticles at his desk. Then he blows them towards Jim's desk, but psych!
Yep.
Ryan is there. Then we find out that Ryan actually got Jim's desk and job as a junior sales associate. So we then see, like, Pam looking over at Ryan, thinking about, oh, Jim's not there. I'm so used to looking, and Jim is there.
It's kind of like in the earlier in season 2 when Pam went on vacation,
and Ryan
was the receptionist, and Jim just kept looking at him.
It's like a force of habit.
Yeah.
And then we see Pam flashing back to the kiss that took place there.
Questions. So they did this like a daydream. Like it faded into that. Like, what the fuck? What happened to the whole, like, I know we talked about last time that it's like, okay, the mockumentary thing is just kind of washed, but like, this was just like,
well, I feel like
it took me out of it for a second.
I feel like the camera crew totally assumed what she was thinking when they edited that in.
That's so weird.
I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, but so we saw the end. Okay. So
we see what happens after they pull back from the kiss.
Yeah.
And Pam's just like, Jim. And he's just like, oh, that was great.
I waited so long to do that.
Yeah. And then he's just like, are you really going to marry him? And she just said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And their hands pull apart from each other.
And then we snap back and she's back at reception.
Yep. And that's where Dwight is in a talking head, pretending to cry because he misses Jim. But really, he has no hard feelings about Jim not being there. So then we flash in. Michael and Toby are talking about the use of the word faggy that Michael used in reference with Oscar.
And do you know why did he say faggy? Because he thought Shakespeare in Love was a better movie than some action movie Michael was talking about?
Yes. So Toby tells Michael, like, no, Oscar's actually gay. And Michael's like, oh, yeah, I know. Ha, ha, ha. And he's like, no, he's actually... It takes him, like, three different phrases.
He likes to make love to men or something.
Yeah, he says, he's actually a homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael finally understands what Toby's been trying to very poetically say
to him.
He thinks
Toby's, like, doing what he's doing. He's like, oh, yeah, he likes guys. Yeah. Hilarious.
And Michael's like, I would have never said that had I known.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, you know, you call your friends faggy when they're being lame. And then he goes on this quote, and he goes, you don't call retarded people retards. You call your friends retard when they're acting retarded.
Which is kind of, I'll be honest. Okay. Now, I grew up in the 90s.
Yes.
And this PC culture hadn't hit yet.
Oh, no.
So, like, terms like retarded were used kind of frequently on the playground. Like, when you're, like, a fourth grade, fifth grade guy, that's, like, what you say to each other at that time. Nowadays, it's totally different. And as somebody who works with the intellectually disabled myself, you don't like to hear that word. But I'm not going to shit all over Michael for something that, especially for him, he's much older.
Yes.
That was a cultural thing. That was something that just people did and said. That, you know, so,
absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't excuse it in the workplace where you should be totally professional and not say shit like that.
Yeah.
That I'm not excusing that, but, like, to a point, I can kind of get it. You know?
Yeah, because, like you said, though, PC culture hadn't really come down. There was really no alternative terms at that time.
So, I mean,
like, there is now.
It's funny hearing Michael kind of justify it by digging himself a deeper hole.
Oh, my God.
But at the same time, I think what makes it funny is there's a bit of truth to his side.
Well, yeah. It's almost like a bit of naivete to him, because I don't think he's around anybody who would tell him, like, hey, it's not okay to use that term.
Well, as we find out, his social life is really stilted anyway.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, we'll just say that. So Michael goes out and he sees Oscar at the copier, and he apologizes to Oscar, saying, like, I would have never said that had I known, and da-da-da. Like,
not very tactful, because he's doing it in front of other people.
Well, that's just it. Kevin and Angela can hear him, mm-hmm. and they're, like, exchanging glances with each other the whole time. And Michael says, like, you know, I'm so far the opposite of that, that I just can't, I don't know what to think. And,
he's,
you know,
so fucking hetero.
Yeah, sometime we should go out and get a beer, and you can explain how you do that to another dude. And Oscar is so mortified. He's just like, yeah, that sounds good, fine.
Yeah,
fine,
he just
fine.
Wants the conversation
he
to end.
He just wants to get away. So then Kevin's giggling in a talking head, just like
giggling.
Straight giggling. Angela's just like, I'm not surprised. And then Oscar's in his talking head, and he tries to deny it. And he's like, I'm not gay. No, that is not, you know, fuck it, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I'm gay. And then we just go back and see Kevin giggling some more.
But, so,
which, like, Kevin's like a 5-year-old. Like, somebody said poop, and Kevin's like, hee 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 hee.
What I like about this whole thing is that the audience has kind of known this for a while.
Exactly.
Like, it was in the middle, around Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
They had that episode where him and Gil were kind of, you know, they're ice skating and holding hands and stuff. So, like, the audience kind of knows, but it's just fun seeing how his coworkers and the people in his life react to the whole thing.
Exactly. So then we flash over, and Jim is at a new office.
Yeah.
He claims that a promotion came up, and that's why he moved. Then we are introduced to a new character, Andy.
Yes. Andy.
He calls Jim Big Tuna, and Jim explains to us it's because he had a tuna fish sandwich on his first day. And that was it.
Well,
Andy calls him Tuna from
Big
now
tuna.
On.
Yeah, there's always that guy who, like, latches onto one thing when you start, like, hanging out or working together.
Yep.
And, like, that becomes your gimmick.
Yep.
You know?
It's his brand.
Yeah. And, like, the talking head of Andy is kind of fun. Because we get, like, key touchstones of who he is. That, and I think, like I said, I'm not deep. I know of Andy. And I know what he becomes, kind of. I don't want to know the whole story. But, like, he talks about how he went to Cornell and he was in an a cappella group.
Here comes Treble.
If I'm not mistaken, those are, like, things that are touched upon as time goes on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Andy is interacting with Jim, trying to say, like, oh, you see her? Think she's hot?
Yeah, there's some blonde in the office.
And he's like, she's totally crazy, though, dude. Don't go. Like, Andy's trying to come off as, like, some kind of player. Like, he knows all about it. So then we're in a meeting with the Stamford, Connecticut group. And they're going, Josh, the boss, who we did see in season 2 when Michael went to New York to meet David Wallace.
Yep.
He's talking about how there's going to be a diversity policy refresher because of some issues in the Scranton brand. And Jim just gives the camera his favorite eyebrows raised look. So then he starts discussing how there's new business coming in, and Jim volunteers to do the cold calls. Then we meet this new female character.
No name, though.
No name, though. Yeah. And she kind of just calls Jim out for always looking at the camera and kind of doing his signature Jim look and shrugging.
Yep.
And that's all we get from her. Mm-hmm. But she's just like, I don't know how well he's fitting in. Yeah.
Meh. What's up with that?
Yeah. So then we go back to the Scranton branch, and Michael and Dwight are in his office, and Michael's kind of just like, oh, can you tell who's gay? Like, gay in this office? And Dwight's like, nobody is. And then Michael outs Oscar. Yeah. He's like, Oscar's gay. And Dwight is surprised.
Yeah.
Because he says, well, he's not dressed in women's clothes.
Yeah, he thinks like a he thinks cross-dressing means you're gay. That's the only indicator of gay.
Honestly. So then Michael's like, I need to know who else is gay so I don't offend anybody. And Dwight has like a really good thing. He's just like, why don't you just act like everybody's gay and not say those things?
Don't say anything offensive.
Yeah. And Michael's like, oh, yeah, I'm sure everybody wants me to treat them like they're gay, Dwight. So then he starts questioning Angela. He's like, do you think she's a gay? She's hard and severe. She seems like she could be a gay woman.
You could see her making love to another woman.
And then Dwight's like, no, I don't think so. And she goes, I can imagine her with another woman, can't you? And Dwight just gives this creepy fucking smile.
It's like when the Grinch gets his idea to go to Whoville and the lips curl up and everything. It's awesome.
Yes. So Michael then assigns Dwight to research and find the others, which is where the gay witch hunt comes in. And Dwight says, well, Jim told me once you could buy Gaydar.
Gaydar!
And Michael's like, that's ridiculous. And so he goes, call Jim.
Yeah, they're all about it.
Oh my god. So then we flash out to the office, and Roy's walking in with a big smile on his face.
Looking good, by the way.
Yeah, he's looking good as fuck.
Yeah, he is.
He's got a nice beard going on.
It's a very nice beard. He's like, his waist is a little more trim. You can tell he's been working off.
Cleaned up a little bit.
Yeah.
So he's walking in with two foil-covered plates, and they didn't get married.
No, we find out.
They called off the wedding. And so Pam's explaining in a talking head, you know, no, she didn't go through with it. She got some cold feet and called it off. She has a new apartment. She's taken those art classes.
That's right.
And then we see Roy, and he's like, yeah, after she dumped me, I stopped taking care of myself for a while. My rock bottom was a DUI, which saw the mugshot. Yeah. His face looks like it's 5 inches wider.
Yeah, it's bloated. And his hair is everywhere.
Oh, my God.
I do have a question, though.
Okay.
What is the lag time here between, like, did they take a break filming? Because they're acting like this is like 4 months later, like it's actually a TV show.
So, I feel like in future seasons, there's like references to a break.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of implied just through the way they're talking.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's what happened.
Yeah, because I mean, we don't see Jim actually transfer and move.
Yeah.
He's now in his new environment and. So he's been there at least long enough to get a nickname.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and for that female to like pick up on his shoulder shrugs.
His weirdness.
Yeah. But Roy's talking about how he started working out after that, and he's going to get Pam back, and he's not going to take her for granted again.
That's right. This is a man who saw the light.
Yes. And so then we see quick talking head of Stanley, who says, I bought them a toaster. Then they called it off. The store wouldn't return my toaster. So now I have two toasters.
He's so matter of fact.
He's so, like, but he's, like, pissed. He's like, now I have two toasters. So then Kelly walks up to Oscar, and she goes, oh, my God, Oscar, I totally underestimated you. It's so cool you're gay.
What does she mean by underestimate him?
I think he wasn't cool to her before that.
Oh, so it's like a social symbol?
I guess.
Status symbol?
For Kelly, it is, I guess. And Oscar's just like, what the fuck? Angela then squirts like 3 pumps of an antibacterial on her hand.
She's got a gallon of hand sanitizer.
And she's just staring at Oscar while she's doing it.
Like he carries like a gay germ.
Yeah, like she's going to catch something from him. So then we're talking ahead of her, and she's just like, I don't. Yes, I do watch Will and Grace, and I think it's. I want. It makes me want to throw up.
It's so loud.
It's so loud. I do like it when Harry Connick Jr. is on there, though. Then we get like a quick picture of Meredith eating her hand sanitizer.
Yeah, Meredith's pumping
the alcohol content.
Pumping and eating the hand sanitizer.
Dear God. So then we flash back over to the Connecticut office, and Andy opens his drawer and finds a calculator in Jell-O.
Which is the first episode throwback.
Yep, that's back to season one where he put Dwight's stapler in Jell-O.
Yep.
And Andy's just like, all right, who did this? And Jim's like hiding behind his computer like, hee-hee.
Giggling.
And Andy just starts getting like escalated. He's like, all right, no, it's not funny. I just need to know who did it. And he kicks a garbage can.
Well, you know what else I noticed here? Hmm. Everybody else, nobody else cracked a smile. Nobody thought
not
it was funny.
Once.
This Connecticut office is like straight-laced, like.
Yeah, they got to stick up their ass.
They all, you could definitely tell it's not as lax as the Scranton branch.
Pranks are not encouraged in the Sanford office.
Which is why you can tell, like, when. So Jim's like goes about his business or whatever every time they show him. But we didn't talk about it. He got a call from Dwight and Michael for the Gaydar to look it up.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, he smiles then. He's just like, I really missed that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They tried to ask where they could buy the Gaydar from. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Skipped over that
one. No. But it's just, like, to show that Jim is not totally comfortable in his new surroundings.
Yeah, definitely. So, Andy gets escalated, and he kicks the garbage can, and
freaks
that's
out.
Where Jim is just like, nope, okay, not doing that again. So, then, back to Scranton, Jan walks in, stops, gives a big smile and a little wave to Oscar.
Yeah, almost like a Queen of England
wave. Yeah, and then you just hear her yelling at Michael, like, pissed.
Oh, yeah, she rips him apart. Like,
how obtuse can you be in this day and age? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
You're going to get a lawsuit against
him. Yeah, she's just like, you outed him. Do you understand that you outed him? Mm-hmm. He feels discriminated against by his coworkers, especially Angela.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's just like, you're going to fix this. And Michael's like, they've taken it upon me to end 100,000 years worth of being weirded out by gays.
Which is funny because he's the least trustworthy person to fix. We've seen this a million times where he fucks up, he calls everyone else into the conference room and fucks it up again. And Jan is just like, well, you're going to fix it this time. You know, it's almost like a Mobius strip of like absurdity.
It's ridiculous.
But I love how Michael tries to like present himself as knowledgeable of the gay community because he watches, as he says, queer as fuck. Which is actually,
that's not what it is,
queer
Michael.
Queer as folk, starring Hal Sparks, I believe, is on it.
Yes. I watched the L Word. That's what he says. I'm like, Jesus. So then Michael is talking to Oscar, and Oscar's kind of like, am I the only gay man you know,
yes.
Michael?
Yes.
And he's like, no, maybe. She's not around those types of people. And then Pam barges in, and he's like, Michael, Dwight is looking at gay porn on his computer. And Dwight is like, no, Michael asked me to do this for him.
Like, it's like a research for, like, a college paper or something. I gotta watch this gay porn.
And everybody's, like, gathered around his computer, and they're watching it.
Yeah.
And Michael's like, it's all good.
It's funny. Nobody seems disgusted by it.
They're all like, except for Pam. Pam's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but, like, they're all just, like, watching it intently.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, it's funny because, like, Creed is, like, craning his neck to watch it. It's just funny.
And Michael's just like, all good, man on man love. Like,
yeah, no big deal.
Oh, my God.
It's beautiful.
So then Oscar comes out, and he's horrified. He's like, what are you people doing? And Angela, being the biggest cunt ever.
C-word alert, guys.
C-word
put
alert.
Put earmuffs on the kids. Jesus.
She's like, watching some of your friends. Like, that is so insulting.
As if all the gay community just
rolls
around each other like a box full of hamsters.
It's terrible. Oh, my God. So then Oscar's like, I'm done with this. Like, and he tries to get away. And Angela's, like, blocking him.
Yeah.
So he, like,
shoves her. He throws her. He throws her.
He does. But I think it's just more like, get the fuck out of my way right now.
It's
You're insulting me. You're treating me differently. I'm done with this.
Yeah.
And Dwight gets up and tries to, like, kick him.
Yeah!
And he's, like, being held back by the Creed.
Yeah, he's, like, screaming. He's like, don't touch her!
Oh, my God. So then Michael's like, I don't care if you're gay, straight, or anything. Get in the conference room now!
Overweight.
Yeah, overweight. That's what it was.
And he points at Kevin when he says overweight.
So Michael's in the conference room with everybody. He's like, I don't know about you, but did you know the word gay used to mean happy? When I was growing up, it meant lame. Now it means a man that makes love to another man.
Good explanation, actually.
Yes. And he starts going on, like, anybody can be gay. Businessmen, antique dealers, hairdressers, accountants.
Antique dealers is my favorite.
Oh, I
it's
know.
So hyper-specific.
But, like, Pam at this moment is so, like, this is so fucking ridiculous.
It's a Michael moment.
Yeah,
so.
She goes to look next to her. Ryan's sitting there. But she's expecting Jim to be there to giggle with her. And Ryan kind of just like, what?
Yeah, why are you giggling?
Why are you
smiling?
Laughing at me? So then we get a snippet of Creed, which
awesome.
It was so good I had to write it.
Yeah.
He says that in the 60s, he made love to many women. He has no problem with gay people because he used to make love to many women in the mud, in the rain. And a man may have slipped in there. No way of knowing.
Yeah, no way of knowing, because genitalia.
Genitalia is genitalia, man.
I love it. I love the fact that Creed is just like this sex machine.
Right? And awesome. So then Michael is going on still about how gay marriage isn't legal in the U.S. at this time. And he goes, I bet a lot of straight men would like that to have torrid, unabashed monkey sex.
These lines are killer, by the way. Like, the way he's delivering them is, like, so beautiful.
It is.
Because it's, like, cluelessness, but it's also, like, so crass.
Yes.
You know, it's so great.
And Kevin just like, no, I wouldn't mind that. Like, what the fuck? And so then Dwight goes, I would like to ask the other office gays to identify themselves.
When he refers to them as gays, like, all I think of is Anchorman when Champ Kind, like, Burgundy talks about, like, how nice Veronica is and that.
Yeah.
He just goes, you sound like a gay.
Oh my God.
Like, it's just so like forthright. Like, it's just so in your face and like not even creative. You know?
No, like, it's like a fucking 5-year old throwing insults.
Exactly. It's somebody who has no knowledge. So that's why like Dwight's like, the gays.
Yeah. And then he's like, and Oscar's like, nobody else here is gay. And Dwight points out Phyllis. And he's like, what about Phyllis? She makes no attempt to be feminine.
Which is kind of not true.
Not true at all. She wears dresses every day. She wears makeup. She does her hair.
I think it's the fact that she's not what Dwight wants in a
exactly.
woman. She's not the ideal
That's
woman.
That's the only reason. Yeah. And she's like, I'm engaged to Bob Vance. And everybody's like shocked. They're like, oh my God, when did that happen?
What? They missed a shot here. They could have killed me with a good one. If she goes, I'm engaged to Bob Vance of Vance
Refrigeration.
If she had to add that on at the end, it would have
right?
killed me. It would have been awesome.
So then Michael's like, well, you know, Phyllis, did you do any experimenting in college? And Phyllis is like, no, Michael, you knew me in high school, too. And in high school, we actually all thought you were gay. And Michael laughs, like, ha 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 ha.
Come on, please.
Dear Lord, I am coming out as hetero. And Oscar's just, like, frustrated, upset. Like, this has been a terrible day for him. And he's like, you know what, Michael? I think it's you that are sending mixed signals about me being here.
I will say, when Phyllis describes why they thought Michael was gay.
Oh, the matching socks.
His socks
and ties.
And ties and everything. Because we did see Michael as a kid on...
he was wearing a suit.
What was it? It's
like
bundle?
An 8-year-old.
Yeah,
and
he
has
hair
bundle.
Parted and everything.
Yeah.
So, like, think of that in, like, the early 80s.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, oh, okay, Phyllis
okay.
thought that.
Phyllis is totally on point.
It's kind of hilarious.
In the 80s mindset, she was on point.
Well, you think of, like, late 70s, early 80s. People had bell bottoms, and they were wearing, like, vintage tees.
Mullets.
And their hair was all... mullets were a little later. But, like, they all had, like, the bushy hair and mutton chops and shit, and... like, Michael Scott wearing, like, a fastidiously pressed suit. That, like, it stands out.
It does. So, then again, Pam looks to Ryan to laugh, but he's not Jim. He's just not Jim. So then Michael's like, listen, the only signal I want to send out is that gay is good. If I were gay, I would be flamboyant, leading the parade covered in feathers.
Waving that rainbow flag.
Waving the rainbow flag.
Oh, when he says dressed in feathers,
what
like...
I just think of the birdcage.
I actually think he was, like, talking... because, like, you know how Dwight thought, like, oh, he's not wearing women's clothing?
Yeah.
I'm, like, imagining him, like, is it the Rockettes or, like, those Vegas showgirls
oh
with the
God.
Big fucking feathers?
Yeah.
Like, that's his concept of, like, that's what a gay guy would wear if he was
oh
flamboyant.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the birdcage is a good call, though. Like, the club they're at.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So... Oscar is just like, you know what, Toby? I can't work here anymore. He goes to leave the conference room, and Michael closes the door.
Yeah.
Right in his face. Like, if you're a gay man forced to come out at work And now you try to leave and a man, and somebody closes a door in your face, I would have brought a gun out. Like, that would have been the tipping point for me.
He's cornering him. Like, I mean, that's almost like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
harassment?
He won't let him leave. What's that called?
Entrapment?
No, that's what cops do.
Kidnapping?
I don't know. We'll go with kidnapping. But, like, he won't let him leave. He shuts the door in his face, yeah. And he's, like, getting in his face, like, no, you'll... Like,
we're gonna hug now.
Yeah, we're gonna hash this out.
And, I mean...
It's very uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable. And Michael's like, no, we're gonna hug. Everybody is horrified. Like, mortified. Any of the fides. They are
the only person who's not is Kelly in the back. Did you see her
face?
She's
like...
Yeah, she's got her hands together. She's smiling. She's like, oh my God, it's a moment.
It's gonna happen.
So awesome.
And so Michael tries to hug Oscar, and Oscar... tweaks.
Freaks
rightly
out.
So.
Shoves him away,
and she's
yells
like, did you ever think I didn't want to touch you? Mm-hmm. You are ignorant, insulting, and small. And Michael kind of just, like, takes a step back, and he's just like, okay.
He's wounded.
Yeah, and so Oscar feels bad that he made him feel so small.
Okay, I was going to ask you here. Should Oscar really apologize?
No, not at all.
This is, like, so weird that...
Yeah.
I don't know if...
This is a lawsuit.
Why is Oscar feeling guilty here? He did
shouldn't.
Nothing wrong.
He shouldn't.
And, like, all of a sudden, he's like, okay, Michael, like,
and
I'm
I
sorry.
I think it's almost like he sees Michael, like, he realizes, like, oh, this guy is actually a child. Like,
yeah.
I just hurt a 3-year-old's feeling.
Like we always say, his heart's in the right place. He's just fucking stupid.
Yep.
Like, I guess it's one of those moments where Oscar freaks out and then has, like, that immediate regret.
Catholic guilt.
It's not Catholic
I'm
guilt.
Kidding.
It's what we all get. Like, I think we've all had those moments where we've lashed out on someone and immediately
yes.
been like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that.
Yes, I always say to my husband, sorry, I was nasty.
But this is not one of those moments where I would have felt that
no.
way.
No. That when, was rightly so freaked out.
Not
like,
when your sexual orientation has been, like, you've been a closeted
you've been
gay
exposed.
Man. You've been a closeted gay man in 2006.
Yeah.
And somebody just comes out and, like, he talks about you as if you're, like, other.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're this other form of
you're
life.
Getting discriminated against being, like, Angela. Just Angela, in general.
Yeah, well,
Dwight saying all the gays need to identify themselves.
Kevin
like,
just giggling like a schoolboy.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, like, oh my God, he's gay.
Exactly.
And, like, you, I wouldn't begrudge Oscar, like, freaking out and just leaving and maybe punching Michael,
yeah,
to be honest.
If he slapped Michael, I could see that.
So, like, it felt weird that
Oscar felt bad, and he's like, all right, we'll hug.
Yeah.
I completely agree
it
with that.
It felt weird,
one.
But in a sense, like, in this show and, like, the environment that the show is and has created, like, it makes sense.
It does. I think, like we've said before, the entire office sees Michael as a child.
Yeah. And they treat him accordingly.
Exactly. So Oscar's like, all right, no, we'll hug. So they hug, and Michael is crying while he's apologizing. I'm so sorry.
He's doing the blubbering you do at, like, a funeral.
Yeah.
Like, woo, you're
sorry,
a good guy.
I'm sorry. You're yeah. such a good person. So then Michael, even though he has now been forgiven for how atrociously he's acted all day.
He has an out, and he just takes it further.
He needs to take it a step further.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm raising the stakes.
He even
stakes.
Says it, yeah.
He does. And...
Go ahead, describe it. I want to hear you describe this. Because he makes it into this moment that is so dramatic. I want this seared into your memories.
Yeah.
When you walk into this office, I want you to think of this. Like, he gets
and
all like...
He puckers up to kiss Oscar, who Oscar is still saying no, no, and his mouth
Oscar's
is open.
Oscar's trembling.
Yeah, he's like terrified. And Michael kisses him with
Oscar's,
his eyes open.
Oscar's mouth is open.
Yeah, because he was in the middle of saying no.
Yeah, it's the most awkward fucking thing.
And Michael pulls away. Oscar's just like, what the fuck? And Michael goes, I did it, while wiping a tear
yeah.
away.
Like, it was the hardest thing in the world. He kissed a guy.
I did it.
Like he deserves a fucking purple
yeah.
heart.
And then, to take it a step further, Dwight jumps up and tries to kiss Oscar.
And Michael's like, no.
Yeah, he's like what's wrong with you?
It's okay for him to do.
Right?
Dwight's trying to show solidarity in a
oh
weird way.
Oh, my God. So Oscar is packing up for the day, and he's leaving. And we see, like, a montage of, like, the Scranton office. Michael Brown from season 1, episode 2.
Not Michael Brown. Is it Michael?
I thought it was Michael. Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown. He
yeah,
doesn't have
sorry.
A first name.
Mr. Brown, who came in on Cultural Diversity Day to teach the HERO
mm-hmm.
acronym, is at the Stanford office doing their diversity
yeah.
refresher.
And Jim has an empty chair.
Jim has an empty seat next to him, and he just smiles. And so Oscar leaves the building, and Michael is getting his coat on in his office, getting ready to leave. He's so proud of himself. And then he looks outside, and he goes, oh, there's Gil. That's Oscar's roommate. Wonder if he knows.
Well, he also said, what did he say before that? He said, oh, that's what she said.
Or that's what he
said.
Yeah,
and then he gets contemplative, like he's having this deep thought. Or he said.
Like, I'm going to be inclusive now.
Oh, it was hilarious.
So then we get a talking head of Oscar, and he's like, I was going to quit, but then Jan offered me a 3-month paid vacation and a company car. So I just had to sign a paper saying I wouldn't sue the company or something. Mm-hmm. He said, him and Gil are going to Europe. and then I quote, kids, sometimes it pays to be gay.
Yeah, he leveraged it. Good for him.
He did. Yeah, I mean.
Well, because he would have.
See, oh my god, he would have bankrupted the company.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Like, he got sexually assaulted by his manager after being outed by his manager.
Yeah, it wasn't just like a harassment. It was an assault case.
It was an assault case,
and he would have, like, cleaned up, but I guess he liked the job.
I guess.
It's bizarre.
Dear God. So then we see a little snippet, and Dwight has a package at his desk.
Ooh.
And he opens it up, and there's a note saying, hope this helps, or something like that. And it's from Jim. And it's a Gator.
The Gator, wand. Yes.
And Pam, like, Pam hears Dwight say, oh, from Jim. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, what's that? So then Dwight uses it on Oscar. It's a little wand. It has headphones attached to it. And on either
like
side.
Like a metal detector.
Yeah. On and on either side it says hetero or homo. And he uses it on Oscar and gets down to, like, his
crotchal region.
His genitalia area. And it goes off. And Dwight goes, ah, good, it works. So then he walks away, and he puts it down past him, and it goes off again.
On homo.
On homo, and he goes, oh, God. Oh, no. It's a metal detector wand that you would see, like, at the old school airports, mm-hmm. before they had, like, the walkthrough machines, and they would wand you down. And Pam just smiles, knowing that...
Oh, Jim.
Jim made a funny.
I made another funny. Master Splinter, yeah.
And
I just
did it,
Michael Scott.
Yeah,
I said
did.
The line and I said where. Oh, anyway.
Yes, you did. Good job, Kevin. You're officially morphed. And that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
So, what are your thoughts on this one?
5 stars!
I gave it a 4.8.
I went the full fucking Monty, man. I love this episode. It was hilarious. And you know what the best part was? This is my one big note. The lack of Jim and Pam let the show breathe.
Oh my God.
No, it did. Think about this.
It did. It gave room for other characters to really shine.
Not only that, but like.
And there wasn't a lot of Dwight. There was some Dwight,
no,
but not...
Dwight was Michael's helper.
Yeah, but it wasn't, like, solely focused, like, the last two... Well, the first two seasons, it was those four main characters. Mm-hmm. Dwight was heavy, Michael heavy, Pam and Jim heavy. But this one, it really gave you... We had a Phyllis moment, a Stanley moment, a Creed moment, Kelly, Oscar.
Roy.
Yeah, I mean, we did the full gambit. We got to see everybody, except really... We saw Toby in the beginning. Well, like, where the fuck was Toby during this kiss?
We even got to meet Andy.
Yeah.
Toby was in the break room. He was, or in the conference room.
But
he was watching.
Like, that's what I mean, though. He's a fucking HR rep. The fuck are you doing?
He doesn't care about his job.
The gay man is getting outed and then sexually harassed.
We talked about this last week. He doesn't care that much about his job.
Oh,
he's just going to be like,
God.
I did what I could do.
I guess.
But no, see, the reason I say the lack of Jim and Pam let the show breathe is because each week, for the first two seasons, there was always the A storyline, which would be Michael doing something around the office and, like, everybody reacting to it or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then it was always Jim and Pam doing something.
Okay.
This one, we got Oscar being gay and then, like, a million other little things going on. Whether it's, like, something like Meredith eating fucking hand sanitizer.
Oh, God.
We got introduced to Andy. We saw Jim pull a trick on him.
Yeah.
Like, we saw the diversity day in Stanford and stuff like that. Like you said, every kid, like, Angela's bigotry.
Yeah.
Kevin's giggling. Stanley talking about toasters. Like, everybody else had a moment because we didn't get inundated with Jim and Pam stuff.
I could agree with that.
Because, you know why? Because we already know.
Yeah.
So it's out in the clear. We've known forever, but now it's like, okay, we got it. Let it marinate for a while.
Yeah.
We don't need it. Like, it let the show breathe, and it was wonderful.
Yeah.
I love this episode so much.
This was such a strong season opener.
Oh, God, this is killer. Like, I'm thinking of other season openers. Okay, well, the pilot is whatever. The pilot's just introductory. And then in season two, wasn't it? It was kind of a lame episode, if I remember, actually. Because the second episode of season two was healthcare. Which was. Or not healthcare. It was sexual harassment with Todd Packer showing up. So, like, to kick off the third season with this, was awesome because it tied up the cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. You got comedy, you got characters, and like even like the Roy and Pam storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Like we got an explanation, but it wasn't like a hammer over your
head.
It was like, okay, she's not wearing a ring. She explains that they broke off the wedding and they're single now. Roy's like, I gotta win her back. You don't need to spend 5 minutes an episode on that. You can only need 30 seconds to get the point across.
You're right.
And then you can cram in more laughs.
You're right.
That's just my opinion.
No, I agree. Yeah. The only thing I feel like would have made this better, because I gave it a 4.8, I just wish, like, Jan came in at the end.
Oh, for the kiss?
Yeah. Like, I almost
she just disappeared.
Yeah, she drove all the way to Scranton, waved to Oscar, yelled at Michael, said, fix it, and then left.
And drove 2 hours back.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, that was my one question.
That's
about
the only thing I wish was Jan was still there, or at least for a little bit longer than just lashing
because
out
it wasn't
Michael.
The next day.
No,
it was all
it was
in
the
one
same day.
So, that was a curious part of continuity there. But, and also, like I said, her trying to say, like, Michael, you're the mop-up guy on this, when he's proven over and over again he is incapable
of
doing such
a thing. He's the one spilling the water.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could see why you docked points for that, yeah.
Yeah. But that's the only thing I had an issue with on this episode.
I thought this whole episode was fantastic, though, overall. So.
Oh, it was... Well, I had to call Kevin yesterday.
She called me. Yeah, we never do this. We never talk to each other.
We never do this, but I was just like, there's so much in this episode. Like, it's going to be, I'm just going to write a transcript of it, essentially, mm-hmm. because it was so good. There were so many small things that still deserved a shout-out.
Yeah, it was awesome. Awesome mm-hmm. episode. And it got me psyched for the second episode of the third season.
Yes.
Which is... Not Gay Witch
Hunt. The convention.
Actually, and before we go into halftime intermission, I want to say I remember this episode when it first aired. I kind of remembered the Gay Witch episode. I remembered the Oscar kiss part.
Yeah.
But the convention, I actually remember.
Really?
Whole hard. Yeah. This one stuck with me for myriad reasons, which I will get into as we go with it. But we'll cover that episode next, right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
We are back with the intermission portion of our show. This is the part of the show where we put ourselves over, as well as PlaceToBeNation.com, our partner and podcast friends.
Yes.
So this week, we're going to tell you what's going on at PlaceToBeNation.com. On the pop feed, the hard-traveling fanboys welcome WWE SmackDown referee Jason Ayers for a new series called Secret Origins. Jason delves into the similarities between comic books and wrestling, and he explains the stories and characters that have made him a lifelong comics fan.
Hmm.
Anything about
that's
that?
An interesting combo.
There's been a lot of wrestlers who have been, superhero themed.
Yeah.
Know? Remember the Hurricane?
Sure.
You don't remember him growing up? He was the guy with the mask, and he's like, "Ooh, he had the green cape."
Oh, yeah.
He had the green hair. He looked like my buddy's cousin. We used to call him that. On DC For You, Russell and Todd dive into what's going on with DC Comics right now in the monthly current events and reader-listener picks for the Best Justice League Unlimited episodes in honor of the show's 15th anniversary. On the inaugural sports edition of Looking Forward, Looking Back, Andy is joined by the Cowboy Roger Morissette, Scott Criscolo, and Peter Winson to look forward and preview the upcoming NFL season, as well as look back and analyze the most recent seasons of the NBA and NHL. The Year in Pop returns with Andy and Scott being joined by George Ribolino and J. Arsenio D'Amato to discuss the new sports and pop culture of 1977. On a new Sunday Groove, David and guest Andy Helene discuss their personal Desert Island discs. And on this episode of Marvel Age, our favorite Sarcastic Four take a concentrated look at roughly one-third of the most significant of Marvel's output through 1972. And also, the Greatest Song of the 80s tournament continues!
Woo!
There was some good matches yesterday.
Yeah?
There's some good wins. Yeah, I'm going to tell you. Back in Black, I believe, won.
Nice.
They moved on. I think John Cougar Mellencamp lost. I fucking hate that. I hate John Mellencamp. There will be four polls a day posted for round three. You can get in on the action on Facebook by searching PTBN's Greatest Song of the 80s tournament and liking the page. Be sure to weigh in because there is a lot to weigh in on. And now, Mareberry, you're going to tell us about the wrestling feed at Place
I
to Be Nation?
I am on Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. On the Place to Be podcast, JT Scott and Peter Winston take a look at the last Saturday night's main event of 1989. Ben Zanny welcomes Southern and Deathmatch legend Tank on the 20th episode of Row 1, Seat 1. On episode 3 of Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT
D'Amato
and Jenny run down the entire month of ECW Hardcore TV following the night the line was crossed. On Place to Be Nation, PTBN's tribute to 1994 continues to roll on with lots of great content. Every Wednesday on PlaceToBeNation.com, we've got the most interesting and unexpectedly fun stories on the World Wide Web and Glenn's Weekly Walk.
That's good stuff, actually. That's a lot of like under the radar stuff, like stuff that's just entertaining, funny.
Yeah, check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWWE PPV and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list.
Are you gonna make a list?
I might.
You're a low class wrestling
low class.
Fan.
Low key
wrestling fan.
Again,
you know the old
era.
Stuff. The old stuff. I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm gonna Hogan Andre number one. Awesome shit, man. Anything with Hulk Hogan, I
Listen,
am there,
brother.
Dude, let me tell you something, brother. I'm looking there at the big stinky giant man, and he's from France. Let me tell you what else comes from France, man. Big stinky fromage, aka cheese, dude. Cheese like the yellow of my red and yellow shirt, dude. Hulkamania will run forever.
You know what's really funny, though, actually? The other day I was watching a video online, and there was a ad for Comedy Central.
Oh.
But it had Kevin Nash in it.
Kevin Nash?
Kevin Nash.
Hey, man, yeah.
Because he was in...
Grandma's Boy.
No, he was in... what's the dancing movie?
Oh, Magic Mike.
Magic Mike.
He was Tarzan.
Yes, he was in Magic Mike 2 as well.
Yeah.
And I watched that whole scene with the store where he drops a water bottle on himself. But Kevin Nash is at the window with Gabriel Iglesias like, oh my God!
That's
and
awesome.
I was just like, how did he...
Big Sexy
so
is like,
far.
No, he didn't fall. He's in movies now.
He is.
Do you know what my favorite Kevin Nash movie role is?
What's that?
Super Shredder, Ninja Turtles 2.
Oh, my God, he was Super Shredder.
Yep. Secret of the Ooze, baby.
Holy shit.
So all of that is going on at PlaceToBeNation.com. You guys should all check it out. They're great people, good stuff, excellent
content.
Yep. So please go check that out. And now is the part of the show where we're going to put ourselves over, and we're going to talk about our Twitter, at BroSisPodcast.
Ayo.
And you can email us at brothersisterrewatch.com.
Now, at gmail.com.
What'd I say?
You just said brothersisterrewatch.com. We do not have a website,
no, we
guys.
Didn't. No, no, no. Okay, brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. It's pretty crazy.
It is. But we do enjoy our Twitter feed at BroSisPodcast as well.
We're not going to be reading feedback this week because we have a funky schedule quirk here. And we're doing a quick turnaround. So we're actually recording this the day that the previous podcast is being released. So all of you who want to send something in, we don't really have the email open because you probably didn't listen to the last podcast yet. So Just send it into the email. We'll read it on subsequent shows. Be happy to interact. And if you don't subscribe to the cast, you can find us on Podbean, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker. We are on the Place to Be Pop Feed. Yes. Place to Be Nation. You can find that anywhere. Apple, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're there. And listen to the other great shows that we talked about there. It's good stuff. Now,
all right, let's jump back into Season 3, Episode 2, The Convention.
The Convention!
You take it away, dude?
Oh, dude. Dude!
Dude!
All right. So Michael enters the office, and he asks Pam if she saw the latest Oprah episode.
Yes.
And she's like, no. And then Michael just starts going into how he wants a baby.
I'm going to be a dad.
Yes. He wants a baby because he saw Angelina Jolie adopted a baby from Asia. And now he wants to adopt a Chinese baby.
Mm-hmm.
And Pam's like trying to talk sense about the cost and the waiting time of getting a child like that. And Michael kind of like gets over it. He's like, well, I don't know if I want a baby in 8 months. And it's like he goes to Pam. He's like, If I haven't had a baby in 10 years and you haven't had a baby in 10
no.
years, immediate no. He goes, 20 years?
No.
No. And then he goes, well, what about 30 years? And she just like kind of just goes, yes. Like,
yes, just, Michael, if neither you or I have a child or with anybody in 30 years.
Resigned to the fact that, well, my life's going to be fucked up anyway, so.
Right.
We cut over to Michael's office then, and Ryan is reading off a checklist because Michael is going to a business convention in Philadelphia. And at first, it's like the usual stuff, like pants, 3 pairs of socks, and he goes, 3 packs of condoms.
Oh, and Michael just gives us a smile.
And he goes, yesh. And then Ryan goes, fun jeans. And he points to this...
Dry cleaner bag.
White pair of jeans slung over the door. Now, oh, God, guys. Fun jeans, man. Now... White jeans were popular at one time, I believe, in the 90s.
They really were.
And so fun jeans kind of became a joke within our family because there was a picture, I'd say it was a young version of me in a Ninja Turtles costume.
Yep.
I was probably a young tyke in the early 90s, and there's a picture of me like in our dining room like, hey, I'm Raphael. You know, and behind is my dad eating at the table. And he's wearing white jeans.
He is wearing stark white jeans.
He is wearing fucking fun jeans. He's getting after it in his white jeans.
So now every time we see him essentially wearing any type of jeans, we're like, hey, fun jeans. Fun jeans.
Getting after it. At least he gets it.
He does. He appreciates the joke.
So Angela comes in and gives Michael a $100 bill. It says per diem while they're away in Philadelphia. And we find out Jim will be there.
Yes.
Cool. Now Angela and Dwight are in the break room. And they're facing separate walls. One is at a water cooler. One is at a vending machine.
Yep.
And they're having one of their, like, weird convos.
Yeah, and Dwight calls her monkey.
Dwight keeps calling her monkey. And she's mad that he's leaving for this business trip with Michael because she wants to spend more time together.
Yes.
It's pretty much the gist of it. So Pam is at her receptionist desk, just chilling. And Kelly comes over. And we find out that Pam has a date with Kelly's, like, neighbor.
Yep.
He's a cartoonist.
In the Scranton Tribune. Times Tribune?
Times Tribune.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. Yeah, that's
it. Used to be the Scranton Times.
Well, there used to. There was the afternoon was the Tribune.
Yeah.
That was a young version of me going back again, had a paper route.
So did I.
That was the, you helped. I had the main one, though. And we had the paper route, and it was the Tribune because it was the after. We used to go after school and do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, going back, Kelly is judging Pam's outfit because Pam's dressed kind of like... A librarian, like a librarian. She has like a sweater with like a button up and like a.
She looks very nice.
A modest skirt, but she's not letting her hair down like that sexy Pam Beasley hair.
Oh yeah, the loose waves.
Yeah, that's not happening. The loose waves.
Yeah.
Is that how it's described?
Mikey likey.
That's so weird. But and then like Kelly, of course, she's like, "Don't sleep with him on the first date. Give him all the power." She knows all about power dynamics.
Oh yes, she does.
Michael tells her. Michael comes in. And, like, he hears, like, about the date or whatever, and he, like, gets tripped over as how to...
Oh, my
God. He's like,
whom?
Like, he doesn't know how to... But then he goes, you know, it'd be really funny if you wore your wedding dress as a joke.
Yeah, veil and everything.
And then he tells her, let those puppies breathe to let her cleavage out.
God.
He's so great. But him and Dwight, like, sing a song and dance. They leave the office. They're going to Philadelphia.
They're so excited.
Which is funny because Michael says at one point, this is for managers.
Yeah.
And Dwight is not really the assistant to the regional manager.
No.
But he's coming along.
He's the assistant to the regional manager, but not the assistant regional manager. He's not the arm.
Yeah, I was going to say, he refers to himself as the ARM in that conversation. So, we're in the break room now, and Creed saw Angela give Michael the money, the $100 bill.
So, well, wait, did we miss Angela's talking head?
Oh, yeah.
When she talks about what her family calls sluts.
What is it?
Someone took the slow train from Philly.
Did you ever use that before?
Because I know you, after this, yes.
So you met some ladies of the night, so to speak?
No.
Not like whores.
No. I was just like,
you said it about coworkers, didn't you?
Maybe. It's possible.
So Creed goes into the break room. And he just goes up to Angela. He's like, you gave out some shekels. Where can I get some of that action? Like, he's like totally cavalier about it. And Angela's like, that was his per diem. He's going to Philadelphia. And Meredith makes a crack about Philadelphia smelling like cheesesteak.
Yeah.
And like, Angela's just like, it's full of history, and leaves.
Yeah.
And Creed, this is the most bizarre fucking conversation. He sits down. He's like,
he starts eating her cereal.
Yeah, he's eating Angela's food. He goes, Andrea is the office bitch. Hi, I'm Creed. Yeah. And introduces himself to Meredith, who has worked with her for a long time.
Who made a comment? He made a complaint during conflict resolution.
Yeah, he didn't want to sit across from her.
Yeah, I don't want to keep staring at the redhead.
It's the most bizarre conversation. I fucking loved it. Now, Mike and Dwight arrive in Philadelphia. And they meet Jim and Josh. So I'm assuming when Jim says promotion, he is an actual assistant regional manager.
Yep.
So him and Josh. Josh is played by actor comedian Chip Esten.
Oh.
Do you remember him from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh my God, is that him?
That's him. That's
Holy
him.
Holy shit.
He was like the fifth best person on that show. Because I would definitely put like the big trio. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost of Ryan Stiles, Colin Mochrie, and Wayne Brady.
Oh, obviously.
And then, like, part of me is like, oh, Brad Sherwood was better than him, too, you know?
Yeah.
Drew Carey was always the ass, though. He was always terrible. The worst. But, so we get the, and, like, Michael wants to welcome Jim back. He's like, he can't say prodigal son, so he just goes, my son has returned.
Yep, and he has this big fucking smile on his face. Mm-hmm.
And they do a talking head of him where he's, like, butthurt that Jim left. He doesn't like it. You can tell he misses Jim. He feels jilted, though, like that Jim went out with Josh.
That's the only reason he transferred.
Yeah. And Jim and Dwight are, like, kind of back to normal, like, just kind of, like, razzing each other and that. And Jim does a talking head where he says he wants to get a copy of Dwight's room key.
Yeah.
So even though he's moved on and he's torturing Andy now, as per the last episode, he still wants to fuck with Dwight when he gets the opportunity.
I don't blame him.
When we talked about how he came to the realization that he's a dick to Dwight, he's going to be a dick to him, like, for no reason. Like, Dwight just, like, met him, and he's just
Yeah, but Dwight, of course. Oh, Jim, did you make any sales yet?
Dwight was just jealous of Jim's success.
Yes.
But, like, that's no reason to... like, that should be enough that you rubbed his nose in that you're doing better than him. Why should you have to do a prank to him as well?
Because he misses the prank.
Dwight is in the right!
Because he does them to Andy, and Andy needs anger management.
Dwight is in the right. That's okay. All I'm going to say. Now, we go back to the office, and Pam is, like, at her desk, and Kevin's, like, looking at her, and Toby comes over, and Kevin just goes to Toby, Pam's back on the market.
Yeah.
If I wasn't engaged, I would hit that.
Ugh.
And, like, Toby's looking, he's like, really?
Oh yeah.
Like, you can see, like, a light goes off on Toby. It's awesome. And we go back, the four guys meet Jan at the lobby of this Philadelphia Convention Center, and Michael makes it awkward.
Well, no, before this, Josh is a total dickhead.
Oh, yeah, he kind of is,
and he's like, oh, by the way, Michael, I heard you were really good in sales. If my branch absorbs yours, I'll be sure to have a salesperson position for you.
Yeah, and Michael doesn't, like, say anything back. He just kind of makes his face like, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, kudos to him for not, like, saying something stupid.
Yeah, I mean, that was really a great opportunity for him to fuck up.
But Dwight, Josh, and Jim go to the elevator, and Michael's, like, talking to Jan. He's like, you're very brave for dealing with this situation, because I'm still seeing Carol.
And like, we need some ground rules in place.
So that's still going on. And Jan, of course, is just like, Michael, back away from me.
Yeah.
She always looks so fucking fierce. You know what I mean?
She does. She's a fierce bitch. Yeah. I like Jan.
It's awesome. And so Pam is in the break room now. And, like, Kelly, like, says something to her about a date, because...
Oh, the comics are so funny.
Yes. So, it's going to be a double date, also, we should mention. Kelly and Ryan are going with this cartoonist and Pam.
Why Pam agreed to this, we'll never know.
So, Kelly leaves, and Pam puts down the cartoon section.
Yes.
And starts, like, reading something she actually cares about. And Toby walks through, and he's, like, turns around to say hi, but he doesn't say anything, and he just fidgets.
Yeah.
And then he just keeps walking, because he's like, I fucked it up.
Oh, my God. He's so awkward in this episode.
I love it. No, we flashback. See, I kind of bitch about when they flashback.
Like the whiplash. Yeah.
This one, it's kind of okay.
Yeah, it's not as
abrupt, but like It's not going to different things. It's not like going to four different people. It's just kind of like Pam and then Michael and all the other guys.
Because
there's really nothing else going on in the office for the most part. I mean, there's a little thing with Angela we'll get to.
Yeah.
But Mike and Dwight, see, their whole reason for being there, Michael wants to have a party in his hotel room. Yeah. So they have scads of alcohol, like liquor, just all
like
over the 15 place.
15 bottles.
Yeah. And they're setting up this party. And Jim and Josh come to, like, oh, we're going to meet up with Jan or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now we get a classic line that is emblazoned on T-shirts. It is spoken especially by people in the northeastern Pennsylvania region. And what does Michael tell Josh and Jim?
Well, he and Dwight start dancing. He goes, there ain't no party like a Scranton party because the Scranton party don't stop.
Ugh.
And Dwight is, like, beatboxing, like, boom,
tch, boom. And Mike's doing, like, a hoedy dance, like a hoedown. Like
he's, like, got his shoulders rolling.
You know what he kind of looked like? He looked like when Ashley Simpson got busted lip-syncing and she did that stupid dance.
Oh, and she did
dance,
the fucking hoedown.
Like a jig. That's what he was doing. He was doing the Ashley Simpson.
Ain't no party like a Scranton party because the Scranton party don't stop.
And it's so stupid. People won't stop saying that. But Josh and Jim, like, they want to go. Michael's like, oh, come on, let's have some drinks or whatever.
Yeah.
And Josh and Jim share an inside joke.
A shot of Midori, perhaps.
Oh, and like...
And Jim, like, really oversells.
Yeah, he's like, oh, God, we are good. We are, like, hilarious together. Oh, my God. And, like, Michael and Dwight start laughing, like, they're in on it. And, like, Jim explains the joke. And he's just like, you got to be there, one of those things. And Michael's quote.
So sad.
He's just like, I'd like to be a part of an inside joke one day.
Yeah, I love inside jokes. I'd love to be a part of one day.
So now we go to the convention floor, where Michael and Dwight are going around, and they're like inviting people to the party. They invite a cell phone mascot.
Yes, yeah. The BlackBerry mascot.
Yeah, and then they meet Jerome Bettis.
Okay. I'm not a sports person, guys, so I was just about to ask, who the fuck is the bus?
Okay, Jerome Bettis is an NFL running back. Okay. Well, he was. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer now, I believe.
Why is he at an office?
Well,
because
they do that. They hire people out to come in. Like, did you ever see corporations? Like our dad, for instance, works for a national corporation, and he went to a sales. There was like a big meeting, and they had the drummer from Aerosmith there, and he did a performance for them. It's like they bring in these people to either do speeches or autograph signings or performances to like boost morale. Be like, oh look, you get to meet this celebrity or something, and the celebrity like makes a couple grand like doing this on the circuit, you know. So Jerome Bettis is there. Like some paper company paid him a bunch of money to show. So he draws people to their booth, and then they can be like, oh, no, let us sell you this.
Okay.
Now, Jerome Bettis, fuck him. All right? I'm going to go off on this motherfucker. Okay? So, Jerome Bettis, he came from Detroit. He went to Notre Dame for college. He got drafted in the NFL, and he played most of his career with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
Now, 2006. This is prime I fucking hate Jerome Bettis time.
Oh.
Okay. I'm going to go off on a tangent here. So, 2005. The Denver Broncos... for years they'd been losing to Peyton Manning and the Colts in the playoffs for like 2 years straight. Okay. We had Jake Plummer at quarterback. We built this awesome defense. We were ready to beat the Colts, right? We're like, oh my God, this is our fucking year. We went 13-3. Jake Plummer was almost the MVP of the league. And if you know anything about Jake Plummer, he was like a fucking mistake prone person. He was like a poor man's Brett Favre.
Oh,
like,
okay.
He threw a left-handed interception once because he was, like, running away, but he was running to the one side, so he put it in his left hand and tried to throw it to a receiver, and it was a picked up.
Oh,
got picked
my
up.
God.
But I love him. He's one of my all-time favorite players. I love him.
He's just very mistake-prone.
Yeah, he had his moments. But 2005, he only threw, like, 6 interceptions all year. He had, like, 30 touchdowns. He was fucking incredible. And we went 13-3. We beat the New England Patriots in the playoffs. We're like, this is the year we're going to fuck up Peyton Manning. We're going to the Super Bowl. So we're in the AFC Championship game, and then Peyton Manning and the Colts have, like, this horrible... They choked it away at home to the Steelers. And all I heard, because Jerome Bettis was going to retire, and the Super Bowl was in Detroit. Oh, the bus goes home. The bus is going home. He's going to win the Super Bowl. Oh, my God. Get on the bus to Detroit. Like, for 4 fucking weeks throughout the playoffs, all I heard was, Jerome Bettis going to Detroit. Oh, my God. Like, nobody talked about how good the Broncos were.
Yeah.
Like, nothing. So then the AFC Championship comes. We're in Denver. And Jerome Bettis and the Steelers fucking beat us.
Mm.
And, oh my, the media just, the fucking jizz they were spewing for Jerome Bettis. Oh, they're just thapping to Jerome Bettis. And then they go, and like the referees got involved in the Super Bowl and screwed over the Seahawks.
Oh my God.
And the Steelers won the Super Bowl, and everybody collectively came when Jerome Bettis held up the fucking Lombardi Trophy and retired. I was just, like, I fucking hate Jerome Bettis just because of the way the media treated him that season. So oh, the bus is going home. Well, no, because he played it up. Oh, man, I really hope, like, oh, shucks, I hope I can retire in the Super Bowl. Like, fuck you, Jerome Bettis. That was the Broncos' year. That was, God, I'm still pissed. It's been, like, almost 15 years, and I get, my blood boils for it. Like, I just get so angry.
Were the refs bad at the Denver game?
No, the Denver game we lost. Because Jake Plummer imploded.
So it wasn't his fault then.
No, it's... No.
It's the Broncos' fault.
No. It's just the media's fault for blowing up Jerome Bettis. Okay. And then the referees got involved in the Seahawks. They blew a bunch of calls.
Okay.
And people still hold a grudge to this day. I know I just went off on 5 minutes of like
you
NFL
history. You absolutely still hold a grudge to this day.
Oh, fuck Jerome Bettis. Like, I'm just going to say it. But anyway... Mike tries to invite him to his party, and he's like, no. Like, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to be nice. And then Mike's like, well, can we tell people you'll be there? No, don't do that. So they're walking away, and Dwight goes, why do they call him the bus? And Michael goes, I think he's afraid to fly. The bus was his nickname because he was a beefy bitch.
Okay.
And he used to, like, plow
maybe
people.
That's I felt like Dwight in that moment. I was like, why is...
Yeah, I know. You were probably, like, wondering, did you even know what he was? Did you think he was a musician or something?
No, I mean, just due to his build. I had an idea he was a football player, but that was the extent of my assumption.
Fuck your own bed.
Hashtag funk Jerome Bettis at Bros's podcast.
yeah, hashtag that. Let's get that trending, and I hope the son of a bitch sees it. Going home to Detroit.
We'd love to have you on the show, Jerome.
Yeah, Mr. Bettis, come and talk about this episode. Anyway, we go back to the office, and Toby goes up to reception, and he wants to tell Pam something, but then she takes a call, and he gets cold feet.
Oh, so bad.
And she's like, what did you want to tell me, Toby, after she hangs up? I forgot what I was going to say. And he just walks out. He whiffs again.
Yeah.
Like, Toby... He's trying so hard.
He needs to get some balls,
it's
man.
Great. Now, Mike and Jim talk about the office while they're getting lunch. And Michael hates Josh. It's coming out. Like, you think Josh is great? Like, what about your boss? Like, you left for a better job. You might be making more money. What about what the boss does for the work environment? And so they're all sitting at the table, the four guys and Jan. And Michael just pulls out his per diem. And he tips the waiter. He goes, I have the tip. And he gives it to the waiter. And of course, Dwight's like, Michael, what are you doing? And he's like,
yeah.
No, I'm making this money. And
this was a different $100 bill.
And Jan's impressed. She's like, oh, what are you generating or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And Michael just starts, well, I'm generating interest for my party.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts talking about that. And Jan, you know, looks at him like, I can't watch you all the time. Like, we're doing actual
business.
I can't
stay on top of you all the time.
Yes. And he wants to say that's what she said.
So badly.
But he just blows up instead. So now we go to the front desk of the hotel and a woman... How would you say she's dressed? First of all, she looks like a blind nun.
Yes.
Like, she has a babushka on and,
she
like,
got
sunglasses.
Dark sunglasses on in the building.
Yeah, it's Angela, and she's, like, all in black. And she goes up, and she goes, a room for Jane Doe?
Is there a key for Jane Doe?
Like, she couldn't come up with another
name.
Like, she could, like, what, I don't know, something creative. Like
Rebecca Sparks.
That's a porn name. That's a real porn name. But, so, we see Angela get a room key, and she disappears as Michael's, like, walking by her. Now, Mike and Josh are, like, all four guys are back on the convention floor, and Jim and Josh have to go to a meeting or whatever. I'd love to know what these meetings are. But there is a booth set up where guys are throwing paper airplanes through, like, a circle, like,
yeah,
15
like
feet
a,
away.
It's like a paper company trying to...
Lure you in.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here, try this game out. If you're good at it, hey, like, sit and listen to what we have to sell you or whatever. And, you know, Josh is like, okay, I'll do it, Michael, whatever, because Michael's busting his balls. And as they're making their airplanes, Michael's phone rings, and the ringtone is My Humps.
By the Black Eyed Peas.
Now, that's the Black Eyed Peas, that's not Fergie?
No, it's all of them.
Because Fergie has some awful songs.
She does.
I think that's something that should be talked about more in popular culture, is Fergie's solo songs are fucking garbage.
My London Bridge, we're going down now.
I don't know, what is that?
London Bridges.
I don't know Fergie. That one. See, the one I'm thinking about is like Clumsy, is like a horrible song, Glamorous. She just has really shitty songs.
Essentially.
So, Michael and them, like, Michael's talking to Pam. It's a call from Pam.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, everybody say hi to Pam. And Jim's like, He's like looking. He looks forlorn because he's like, it's Pam. I didn't think about her all day. And now she's right there. I can talk to her.
So close.
But Michael's doing the thing. And he wishes her good luck on her date. And Jim's like, oh, like his face. I don't know how to describe it. It's just like sad.
Yeah.
And I got stuff to say about that later, as usual.
Yes.
But, so they do the airplane thing, and, like, Josh's goes, it flies, whatever.
Yeah.
Michael throws his and just, like, turns around and hits him. Right. It's a piece of shit. And it sucks. But, like, Jim and Josh, they leave, they go. And the sales representative for the paper comes up, and Michael's like, okay, whatever, get it over with. Now we go to a talking head of Michael in his hotel room, his mm-hmm. party pad. And he's, like, discussing, like, friendship and how Jim chose Josh over him. So he will no longer be speaking to him.
Yep.
And, like, long-distance friendships don't work. And then the sales representative chimes in and we pan out and he's sitting on the bed.
Yeah.
Drinking a Cosmo. And Mike, he's like, are you ready for the pitch? And Michael's like, yeah, let's do it. And he pulls open this binder and that. So Michael's taking a sales pitch drinking Cosmos in his room.
That's the way to do business.
Mm-hmm. So we go down and the other, like Jan and the other three guys are all in the lobby. Actually, no, it's just Josh and Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in the lobby, like waiting for a meet to meet and whatnot. And Michael comes down wearing an orange Hawaiian shirt with his fun jeans.
From Microsoft Office.
Yes. And he sits down and he talks about how they have a new deal with Hammermill, I think it is.
Hammermill Products.
Hammermill Paper, who were a exclusive with Staples.
Yes.
But now that, like, Michael hashed out a deal that Dunder Mifflin can sell them, they'll call Jan in the morning.
Yep.
And she's kind of like, wow, I really underestimated you, Michael. He says, maybe next time you'll estimate me. So we go up, we see Jim walking down the hallway in the hotel.
Yes.
And he says, got Dwight's room key. We don't know how, but he's got it. So he goes to Dwight's room, he enters, and we see bare legs
with heels
on a bed. And you just hear, is that you, D?
Ugh.
Jim, like, panics, shuts the door, and he's still going down the hallway, and the camera's staying on him. He goes, Dwight bought a hooker! Like, he's convinced Dwight bought a hooker in his room.
I can't believe Dwight got a hooker. I have to call, I don't know who I'm going to call, but I have to call somebody.
I think he wanted to say Pam, but as usual, Jim sees the camera and catches himself.
Yep.
But we know, as viewers, that is Angela.
Yes.
Who is naked on the bed, which, again,
Jane Doe.
Out of character for what we've she has a public face and a private face.
Yes.
She hates hussies and whores. But in real life, she's a hussy and a whore.
But she's monkey.
She's a monkey for Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
Now we go for something completely different. We go to, it looks like, was it TGI Fridays or something?
That was a weird restaurant.
Yeah, we're in a restaurant and one side of a booth is Kelly and Ryan. And the other side is this cartoonist and Pam.
Who looks so fucking pretentious.
Guy? Oh, the guy totally is. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm a cartoonist. Like, he's one of those guys.
Scranton paper.
He's one of those guys who sounds bored no matter what.
Yes.
Like, he's the kind of guy who waits for somebody to ask him about his job, and then he'll just act like, well, it was no big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those guys. He plays tennis with, like, a sweater around his neck, like he's Rick Martell or something.
Yeah, I couldn't stand him as soon as I saw him.
Yeah. And, like, he's really dry, like white toast. Ryan looks like a fucking hostage.
Yes.
He's just, like, uncomfortable.
He's in the corner of the booth, pinned in by Kelly, getting french fries.
Yeah, Kelly's feeding french fries to him. They're hanging out of his mouth at one point because he doesn't want to eat ketchup. So this guy's, like, doing doodles on a napkin for Pam, like a cartoon, and it's about Freedom Fries.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but when was the Freedom Fries reference
03.
Popular?
That was 03 when we went to Iraq, and the French were, like, against us doing that, and there's Freedom Fries!
They're not French fries, they're Freedom Fries!
So, 06, it adds a little, like, this guy, because then he says, like, you know, it's edgy.
Yeah.
He thinks
they
it's edgy.
They always tell you not to be edgy, but I don't know how else to be.
Yeah, and Pam, like, giggles or whatever, and he's like, yeah, you get it. And then he looks at her tits.
And she slowly buttons
it up.
The top button.
And they're all leaving this restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And no kiss. She's just like, it was nice meeting you. And they go their separate
ways.
But
he's like, oh, yeah, next time bring some of your drawings and I'll let you pick my brain. Yeah. She's like, ha, no, there will be no next time.
So pretentious. And so they just leave and nothing happens. And Pam does just a quick talking head where
she's, like, out in front of the bathroom. She doesn't even go out of the restaurant
she doesn't
with
leave.
Him.
And she's just like, you know,
wasn't a love connection.
Yeah, when it happens, I'll know. I'll just get that feeling. And I want to say the best thing about this was only, like, 45 seconds, maybe a minute tops, where they spent on this, but they got the point across. Like, they didn't linger on it. They didn't try to force comedy into it. What they did was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it was good. And it kept the episode moving. So it wasn't just a slog of the convention.
Yes.
But it was important stuff. It was good.
Well, we have to know that Pam is getting back out there.
She's putting herself out there for guys other than Roy. Indeed. The guys outside of Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah.
So we see Jim walks out of an elevator. He's walking down the hall and he gets to Michael's party.
Oh my God.
Now, Michael's party, describe it for us.
Okay. There's an open door, a strobe light, blue light, and some song I have never heard in my entire... Girls go
It's house rave. Music. Yeah. It's fucking great. It's like... Girls go on wild.
And Michael's sitting in the corner with a flashlight. Like...
Staring into it.
Yeah.
He's just like forlorn. And Jim walks in. He like shuts all the shit off. He's like, what's going on? He puts on the lights.
Am I the first to arrive?
Yeah, Michael's kind of like standoffish at first because he's still smart and he thinks Jim left because of him.
Yep.
And they end up having a talk about it. Like, he's, you know, getting bitchy. And Jim tells him, like, you're not the reason. You're the best boss I could ever have.
Yep.
And he tells, you know, I left because of Pam. You know, and Michael gets all excited. Oh, she's single now, Jim. Oh, my God. And he says, she denied me twice. Like, she shut me down.
I tried.
And, you know, Mike's just like, well, I'll talk to her. And then he tells Jim that he should talk to Roy because he knows how Jim's feeling.
He knows where he's at. Yep.
That's so great.
And Jim's just like, yep, I don't know if I'm going to do that, but...
Now there's a knock at the door and the two paper reps come.
Paper mill!
And, like, they're small talk. And Jim says, you know, me and Mike are friends.
Yeah, we used to work together, but now we're friends. And Michael goes... Best friend.
Michael lights up. Like, that's all he wants to hear.
Yep.
And then he does this talking head. And it's actually kind of poignant. Because he says real relationships can't be forced. They should be effortless.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he's trying to, like, fit a square peg into a circular hole with every person in his life. Whether it's the women or his coworkers or whatever. Although, I also want to point out that Dwight is not at this party.
Yeah, no, well, he's with
He's with Jane Doe.
He's with Monkey.
And so you think that's the end, but there's a little end card here where Michael and Dwight are in the room, and they shut off the lights and put on a blue light. And
they're like, black light for the party.
Yeah, black light. And there's just, like, splotches everywhere and, like, stains.
On the walls, headboard, on the comforter. Yeah.
And Dwight just goes, well, it's either urine, blood, or semen. And Michael just goes... God, I hope it's urine. And that's it. That's the episode. And this was another awesome episode.
It was.
What did you give it?
I gave it a 3.6.
Whew.
I thought it was really fun, but I...
What didn't you like?
I don't know. I can't put my finger on it.
You didn't like something.
I don't... It just didn't give me the giggle. Maybe it was a bad follow-up to Gay Witch Hunt.
Oh, okay. I guess
if you
put it back to
back. It may have just been its placement. Because, again, I was doing it back to back.
Yeah.
So Gay Witch Hunt literally had me, like, laughing out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then to go to this one, I was like, okay, it's funny. It's got cute, like, good storylines, like, funny parts, but it's no Gay Witch Hunt.
I gave it a 4.3. Okay. I loved it. I thought it was great. And like I said before, you had a good mixture of stuff.
Yeah.
With the Angela Dwight stuff, the stuff with Jim, Michael, Josh, and all that.
And Creed.
Creed killed it with his 10 seconds on screen. But also the relationship stuff with Pam and the double date and, like, Ryan and them. And I thought it was all really good. And, all
right. I'm going to change it.
Well, change it. Don't back down.
No. But in retrospect, I could give it a 4.0.
Okay.
Because I may have judged it too harshly watching it back to back.
Okay. Well,
that's my reasoning. Because I couldn't put my finger on why I didn't like it as much, but it's...
You're just going to say because the other one was so much better?
It was.
That you just kind of judged it unfairly.
I judged it too harshly based on the first episode.
Well, what was your favorite part of it?
My favorite part of this one was, honestly, the whole wedding dress thing in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because they're so fucking childish. And then, I mean, on the train there, Dwight brought his own travel pillow. And Michael's literally like, oh, I can't hear you.
Yeah, he has his headphones on.
And he looks at the camera like, ugh. Honestly, the Josh Jim stuff.
Josh seems like a dick.
Yeah, I could do without that.
Yeah, he seems like, I don't know, like... Not that he has a stick up his ass, but...
He thinks he's better than everybody.
Do you think it's because he's young and handsome?
Michael Scott, probably.
Because he's young and handsome? Probably. He has that square jaw?
Obviously. But, and I wish we saw more interaction with Michael's party, because there was one guy that showed up and left.
He just left. He's like, is this the party?
Yeah.
And Michael's just alone in there, and he's like, yeah, welcome in, and the guy just leaves.
Yeah. But, there were a lot of good parts. Like, I mean, it's iconic. Ain't no party like a Scranton party.
Scranton party don't stop.
Exactly.
Scranton parties get a little out of hand. There's a lot. This area is known for its alcohol consumption.
Yes.
Especially on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Where the people start at 6 a.m. for the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Oh, God, it's disgusting.
There's an old joke.
Go ahead.
What's green and has an asshole every 3 feet? The Scranton St. Patrick's Day parade. You're welcome.
Yep.
But, okay, here's a question for you. With Toby, did he come across as desperate and sad or creepy? And do you think he's just chasing that feeling he talked about last week?
No, I think he came across as a normal person. Like, think about it. He's divorced. He has a kid. But he has shown an interest in Pam previously.
Has he?
I'm pretty sure.
I can't recall.
I mean, not, like, obviously, but, like, he's, I don't know, like.
Do you think he's, like, a guy who got his confidence shattered through the divorce?
Yes.
And he hasn't gone on a date in years?
Because Michael even commented, like, oh, it was a very bad divorce, very messy. Like, so I think that he's almost afraid. Like, he knows Pam. He knows that she's nice, but he's, like. Oh, I don't want to get I don't want to get my heart broken again.
It's just awkward as fuck.
Yeah.
So great. And, okay, here's another question for you. We're going to jump into it here. Why won't Jim even call Pam? He knows she's available now. Like, this is a thing. Now, if you really care about someone, I know a guy. I know a feller.
Mm-hmm.
And he was single. And there was this girl that he really, really liked. And he told her how he felt. It was like a Jim Pam situation.
Oh.
And she said, no, I'm with this guy. I love him. You're great. But, and he, like, they kind of made an agreement in a way. Like, if it ever gets to the point where both of us are single, we'll meet up. Like,
okay.
Like, they're not, like, in, like, they're not in a relationship. They're not cheating or anything. But, like, it's kind of a gentleman's agreement. Like, if anything ever happens, like, you find somebody, I'm with this guy. If it ever happens that we are single, we'll meet up.
We'll give it a shot.
Yeah. And so why doesn't Jim just say, hey, I'm single, you're single, like, call her up and just talk to her. Be like, I heard you had the breakup. Because it's intimated here that they haven't even communicated since he left.
Yeah.
They're best friends. So he, like, not even a text, nothing?
An
AIM message? God damn it.
I think what Jim is thinking is, listen, I told her, I gave her two opportunities. All right, she broke up her...
But she was with Roy then.
She broke up her wedding. If she wanted to talk to me, she would reach out to me.
You think that's...
I'm not going to harass her because she already knows how I feel. So what's the point of putting myself out there to be turned down a third time when there is no obstacle in her way?
Well, what's the problem being turned down a third time if you got turned down twice?
Because he's moved on with his life. He's gone.
No, he hasn't.
No, but he's gone to a different office. He's got a new job. And he's just thinking, like, you know, if she wanted to talk to me, she would reach out.
Mm-hmm.
She obviously doesn't want anything to do with me or anything like that. I think that's where Jim is coming from.
Okay. Because I look
I put myself out there. Now, if she wants something, it's her turn.
See, I look at it this way. Where they are separate now, so I don't think, like, I don't think it would sting as much. You know what I mean? Where it's just, like, a conversation. Like, even if it's just, hey, on a Saturday, you want to meet in the middle and, like, New York or something, we'll just get coffee or something. We'll just talk and meet up because we're friends.
But I think he's waiting for her because he doesn't even know.
But he knows how she is.
But he doesn't know that she's single until Michael says, have fun on your date. So she didn't tell him that she called off the wedding.
But
if they're best friends, why hasn't she reached out to him?
But why? Why, even after he finds out, does he say he's not going to do it? Like, he knows Pam is timid and weird and awkward.
That's
kind of
problem.
A female Toby.
That's her thing. He's already put himself over twice. There's no reason that he should have to reach out to her. She didn't tell him that.
So the onus is on Pam now.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely it is.
Okay, I get your point of view on that one, actually. Because at first I was like, this motherfucker. Like, he's got the chance now. And, like, part of me is also like, remember last week I talked about the chase?
Mm-hmm.
And like how you could only draw it out so long before it gets annoying? I don't want them to draw it out so much. Like, I can get, like, because they're in separate places.
Yeah.
I get that it will be, and I understand why it has to be, and it should be for the most part. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if this is going for, let's say, halfway or to the end of season four, you know, man, I might have some issues here.
Well, we're just kicking off season three, so let's see where the road takes
us. I know. Play it out, man. We'll play it out. Yeah. See where it goes. But, do you have anything else to add to that episode?
No, I'm good on this one.
All right. These are two awesome episodes.
They were. This is a strong beginning to season three.
Do you know what we're looking at next week?
I do. Okay. Season three, episode three, is called The Coup.
The Coup! Awesome.
And episode number four, I don't really remember this one that well.
What's it called?
Grief Counseling, but it sounds promising.
No idea. Yeah, it sounds promising, because it's like those ones... The ones that hit the topics that you don't expect to find comedy in, like the sexual harassment, the diversity day, the just last one, the gay witch hunt.
Yes.
When they hit those topics, kind of like Dave Chappelle's stand-up, like when they hit those topics that you're like, oh man, where are they going to go with it? Those are the best episodes. Those are the home runs. Because most of the time they show you that we're all just human. In a sense, like in that way. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what either one of those are about, but... So that'll wrap up this week's episode. But, guys, go to placetobenation.com and also visit their wrestling and pop feeds, where you'll find us as well as other great podcasts like Geek and Sassy. Check them out. Good stuff. And, subscribe to the cast. Listen. Enjoy. Mm-hmm. Share us around. Share them around. And also get in touch with us on Twitter at BroSisPodcast, as well as through email at BrotherSisterRewatch@gmail.com.
Woo-hoo.
That's a plug.
Wah, wah, wah.
So, until next week, we will see you later, right?
Yep. Have a great day, guys.
Spend some time.